recess for public hearings.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
I guess motion carried. We're now back in public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I will read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each applicant shall be announced. The director will review the council with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign this sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Ms. Cornwell and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers have already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beep, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And Mr. President, before we start today, on the third matter that was on the schedule before us today, the change of zone number 1813, filed on behalf of Delaware Animal Products, LLC, we have received a letter from Mr. David Hutt, who represented them, withdrawing his application. That does need a vote by council. If we could do that, possibly act on that first, and then we could go with the hearings.
Sure. Entertain a motion to allow a change of zone 1813 to withdraw.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett. Second, Mr. Cole. Any questions? Vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
IBS motion carried.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. The first hearing is conditional use number 2065, filed on behalf of Keith Properties, Inc. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district and a B1 neighborhood business district for a craft distillery to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.22 acres more or less, lying at the southwest corner of Lighthouse Road, Route 54 and Fenwick Shoals Boulevard. The tax ID is map 533, District 533, Map 19, Parcel 753. The 911 address is 38016 Fenwick Shoals Boulevard. Staff would note that the Planning Commission held a public hearing on February 9th, and at that time it was submitted for the record was a site plan, the DLDOT service level results, engineering comments, and comments from the NRCS. that meeting, the Planning Commission deferred action, and on their February 23rd meeting, the Planning Commission recommended approval with conditions. Thank you.
Okay, any questions from council? If not, is the applicant present? Is the applicant or someone on behalf of the applicant? Robin, can you make sure we have a microphone that's available?
Yeah, we have a portable mic, too.
Yeah, we have a portable mic we will bring up if that's helpful.
That should work.
He spoke on this before.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah, fine. Thank you.
Just you, raise your voice when you talk. When you talk to us, raise your voice.
I will.
Nicely, though.
Yeah, what we're trying to do is we took the winery that was there and we're retooling it to be able to do a craft distillery, basically to do specialty liquors and more like personal liquors for people for different places, special labeling, things like that. That'll be more of a niche market.
Are you using the existing structure,
yeah,
facility?
We're using the exact same building, the same footprint, same parking, same. Actually, we'll have less foot traffic, but because it won't have retail, because we haven't got the okay to sell direct yet, but. Right now, it's going to be more or less just a wholesale operation.
So it's right next to the restaurant?
Yeah, it's right. It's on the end, right?
On the end,
right
in
the restaurant.
Right on Santa Bill, right? Yeah. Right.
Were the Mr. President, I'm sorry, me, yes. Don't want to, have to ask, yes?
So we got it.
Same footprint, same unit as the, what was it, Fenwick Cellars? Fenwick Winery.
Yeah.
Wine Cellar, yeah.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, same exact footprint, same, I mean, it's already. It's the building's already set up for it. It's everything, all the drains, everything's. I mean, it needs nothing but the equipment changed.
Okay. Now this might be just because we're using one drawing here or something, but I noticed it says it's going to be using an exact same facility where the winery was,
mm-hmm.
And we got this site plan that somebody provided us, and it shows over top of the restaurant proposed second floor extension.
That's for the other restaurant. That's another restaurant.
I wonder why. Why it's on this site plan?
Because I did that earlier. I guess. That's
okay. I thought it probably was the answer. I want to make sure we weren't missing something.
No,
it's fine.
Different building or not same building? Different
building.
Unit, different business.
Yeah, it's the second floor. Right. The second floor restaurant over top of Mia Fratello's is
right.
Another restaurant that's going up above it. That's we put an addition because it was set up before, but we had no windows and no access to the. People couldn't see in, so people felt a little uncomfortable, so we put that addition on there to give it a little light and some curb appeal.
Sure.
So there is still going to be suitable enough parking for all this.
Yeah.
And you got the Del Dots entrance from the original subdivision, so it's easy to get in, safe to get out. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Nothing really is going to
change.
Really,
no change.
Okay. Any other questions?
Pretty simple.
Any other questions from council? Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else that you would like to add? Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close the public record.
We'll close public hearing, and without any opposition, we'll close public record. Mr. Moore, read a short title, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district and a B1 neighborhood business district for a craft distillery to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 1.22 acres more or less. For the reasons given by planning and zoning in your packet numbered 1 through 5 with conditions 6A through F.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption of condition use 2065.
Motion, Mr. Arlette.
Second.
Second, Mr. Burton, to grant conditional use 2065 for the reasons that listed by planning and zoning 1 through 5 and conditions 6A through F. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette.
Absolutely, perfect location, and I will vote yes per planning and zoning's recommendations with the items as outlined as 6A through F.
Mr. Burton?
I vote in favor for planning and zoning's recommendations.
Mr. Wilson?
Not voting.
Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes. I think it's an appropriate location. It's the use is pretty much has been there. There's restaurants and other similar activities, so I'll vote yes.
I also agree with planning and zoning's reasons and their findings and conditions. I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. The next matter is change of zone number 1812 filed on behalf of Oxford Chase Development Corporation. And it's my understanding that Mr. Burton is going to excuse himself on this matter because of a potential conflict. Ms. Cornwell?
Thank you. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 2.98 acres more or less, located on the southeast corner of Lewis Georgetown Highway Route 9 and Fisher Road, Road 262. The tax district is map District 235, Map 30, Parcel 50, and it's a portion of Parcel 50. The 911 address was not available. The Planning Commission did hold a public hearing on February 9th. At that time, we did note that there was an exhibit booklet, a site plan, or a survey, DLDOT service level evaluation comments, public utility comments, and were submitted for the record along with a staff analysis. Since then, we received a letter in opposition, and it's an email that's saying that they wanted to share their view on a proposed Dollar General at Route 9 Fisher Road, that they are totally against this application due to increased traffic in the area that is notoriously busy and has frequent car accidents. The new light has helped, but accidents can still continue. There are two Dollar General stores already on Route 9 within 10 miles of each other. A third Dollar General is located in Milton on Route 16. These stores frequently have become hangouts for young teens in the parking lot. The surrounding communities don't need this type of store, and that is signed by Donna West. At their February 23rd Planning Commission meeting, the Planning Commission did recommend approval of the change of zone. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from council?
On the papers we got, like this one here, if I'm looking at this right, part of this property going to stay AR1?
Yes, and that is
only the
older...
red will be.
Here, I can give me. I can bring up the actual zoning map, and mm-hmm. I think that'll clear it up. That map is a little confusing, and I apologize for that.
Sometimes I confuse easily, so it's all right.
Okay. I'll be right back. Thank you. So that is the official zoning map and parcel layer. That original map did not reflect the updated subdivision that was done for the application.
Okay. So what will be all of the land will be now become not AR1, correct?
This is the only portion of that application that will become AR
right.
or CR1, if so approved.
Where the arrow is,
Within the yellow box?
Within the yellow.
Okay, the vacant to the right is what, just still open space?
Will still say
AR1.
That is not part of this application.
It's the same property owner?
That I think you could ask the applicant.
So this is recently subdivided?
Yes.
So probably was this, okay.
That's why the original application and the ordinance says it was a portion of parcel 50, because between the time of the application and today's hearing, they did actually subdivide the property.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? If not, Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. President, members of the council, my name is Dennis Schrader. I'm an attorney from Georgetown. I represent the interests of Oxford Chase Development Corporation and change of zone number 1812. Excuse me. I have with me this afternoon Ken Christenberry, who is the with Axion Engineering Company, who did the design for this project, and also I have Howard Crossan with me, who is representing Oxford Chase, the proposed applicant, or the applicant for the proposed change of use. You should have received, or may be looking at now electronically, a booklet of exhibits which were presented to the Planning Commission when we first had our public hearing, and contained within that booklet are a number of items which will help you make a decision on this matter, including site photographs, concept site plans, the subdivision plan that's just been referred to by Ms. Cornwell. There are DLDOT letters, artesian water and service sewer service availability letters, and so forth. Also included are zoning maps, comp plan maps, state strategies map for this particular property. Without being too terribly redundant to what Ms. Cornwall had to say, the owner of the property is Dry Acres LLC, and Mr. Cole, to answer your question, they also own the adjacent property, and they have separate plans for the use of their property that are not associated with the tract that will be owned by Oxford Chase.
So it's safe to say we may see another application?
I would like to think that, I mean, I can't imagine that you won't, and the opportunity to have done joint venturing on the application has now passed, let's put it that way. But if you take a look at the zoning map that Ms. Cornwell had up before, to the immediate right of this site, or to the east, where the vacant land is, and then moving on to the next spot, is where the Oak Creek Liquor Store is as you go towards the railroad tracks at Cool Spring. This property is located on the southeast corner of the Lewis-Rehoboth Highway. We know it is Route 9 and at the intersection of Fisher Road. It contains 2.9 acres of land, currently zoned AR1 agricultural residential, and if you've been by to look at it recently, it is wooded and it does contain some wetlands in the middle portion. We're proposing that this property be rezoned to CR1 so that my client can establish a Dollar General store here for the retail sale of goods. We have submitted to you those reports that we have available to us. We have submitted the Ready, Willing, and Able letter that came from Artesian for both water and sewer. And as Ms. Cornwell pointed out, the matter has been referred to the Delaware Department of Transportation for its participation in the decision-making process. And I would note that their letter does not require the applicant or the owner to participate in the preparation of any traffic impact study. And the Department of Transportation estimates that the increase in traffic at this location by reason of the proposed use of the property would be approximately 200 vehicles per day. If you were to interpolate or extrapolate that into the average daily traffic count, summer and otherwise, at this particular location, that is less than 2% increase during the winter and less than 1% during the summer. We have delineated wetlands on this site that will be addressed by Mr. Christenberry when he gets into the finite engineering. And I will turn this over to Mr. Christenberry to give you just a better idea from the engineering side what this property could be used for and how it may look at a later date. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. Ken Prestonberry with Axiom Engineering. So just kind of walk you through some of the exhibits in the book. To answer your earlier question, if you go to the second or third page in the book, there's a fold-out here. This is the minor subdivision we did last year. It is the intention of our client to develop the western portion of that land as a Dollar General, and the wetlands kind of created a natural dividing point between the usable portions of the land. Did not want to have the whole thing entangled. On the other side of that is a page of a site plan. This is only a concept. Obviously, you're not voting on this today because this is a zoning application, not a site plan, but it does give you an idea of why a 9,000-square-foot retail site would work on the property and why this is a suitable location for the proposed use. The first couple pages in the book give you photographs of the intersection that this is located on. The site had flashing lights for most of last year, and in the last few months, those lights have become fully operational. So this is an intersection that now has left-turn lanes that are lighted through lanes from every direction. You can see that there's a very thorough, well-controlled flow of traffic through the intersection. It makes it an ideal location for a retail facility and a not particularly ideal location for residential. The layout of the site, if you look at the site plan, there will be a fair amount of open space when the site is developed because of the wetlands that are there and because the size of the site is a little bit larger than what they would need to make the Dollar General work. Obviously, during site plan review, we would address specifics on open space, security lighting, buffers and screening. All those things would be taken into consideration, but a very significant buffer between us and the closest residential is the presence of a railway line on the rear edge of the property that runs from east to west, essentially parallel, slightly angled from Route 9. And then the other closest residential is on the opposite corner of the intersection, the northwest corner of Route 9 and Hudson Road. Traffic is intended to come in from a right-in, right-out on Route 9 and a full access on Fisher Road. We are, of course, going to have to go through a DLDOT approval process, and we've just begun that work with them. But in terms of whether or not the zoning is appropriate and whether a traffic impact study is triggered by the zoning, DLDOT's letter did indicate that a traffic impact study is not. A traffic operational analysis will be required, and again, that's incorporated into the site plan review. As Mr. Trader mentioned, Artesian is committed to the ability to serve the property with water and sewer. Stormwater management will be handled with best management practices in accordance with the Sussex Conservation District. Wetlands have been field delineated. This isn't a public map. This was a field delineation that was done by Environmental Resources in Selbyville. So the accuracy of it is one that I'm very, very comfortable with. And our surveyor field located his flags. If you look at the zoning map, a few more pages in. Actually, can you go to Exhibit CR1 in my book? Scroll down a little more. A little further, that's the level 1, level 2. A little further, that's the level 7. It's the top one of those right there. Thank you, ma'am. You can see that to the east, obviously, we have that entire shopping center, which has the liquor store, a home builder, some medical offices, and then to the west, you have quite a bit of commercial all the way back to Harbison's sort of downtown core area. So this does appear to be a very reasonable location for commercial. Janelle, if you could please go to the last exhibit. I think that has our, this is just kind of an aerial view, a helicopter's eye view, if you will, of what businesses are located on this stretch of Route 9. And I do agree that traffic is a great concern because I do know this that stretch of Route 9, making left turns for many of those businesses is a little bit dangerous, and that's why we're very thankful to have a location that's immediately adjacent to a fully controlled, lighted intersection that provides optimum safety for the customers and the residents who already live in the area. If you have any questions, I'll be pleased to help them out. And Mr. Schrader did fail to mention the sellers of the property are here as well if you have any questions for them. And I think Mr. Schrader has a few more words for you.
Thank you, Mr. Christenberry. As you all know, there is or has been obviously a mark. I'm going to, do you mind if I put this somewhere where I won't break it? I'll just sit on it, okay? There has been a market analysis done by my client in anticipation of placing a store here, and this appears, in the opinion of my client, to be a good location for this store. The Dollar General stores are not open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They do not sell petroleum or alcohol products, so there are not things that would be attached with a Dollar General that you might anticipate with some other retail activities that would be detrimental. There will be some minimal or minimal required signage in order to advertise the fact that a Dollar General is on this location. If you take a look at the staff analysis that was given to you as a part of this process, this project is located in an area that is a growth area, although it's a de facto growth area. The area between the intersection of 5 and 9 going to the east and from the railroad tracks headed back towards Route 5 has grown. And as was shown in this particular exhibit, there are any number of commercial and light industrial type activities that are located within this particular area, and this would be consistent with what is developing in this area. I have submitted, as is my habit, a proposed set of findings of fact for your review and consideration, or for something to use as a matrix if you choose to favor us with the approval of this application. Mr. Crossan, Mr. Christenberry, myself, sellers are all here to answer any questions that you may have of us.
Why not a B1? Wouldn't a B1 solve your...
We went with a CR1 because it is not, it is consistent with the other commercial zonings that are located along this particular tract of land. I said tract, I mean roadway.
Okay, but B1 would accommodate your Dollar General needs?
Possibly. Correct?
Just it's less intense as we see different things popping up here on Route 9. Route 9 is getting to be a bigger problem each time we have new zonings like this. And CR1 would it permit like car lots and different things, correct? I mean, it's got a long list, and the B1 is a little shorter list is all.
It's a shorter list, Mr. Cole, but I think the answer to your question is not defined so much by the definitions that are contained in the zoning code. Take a look at the fact that you have 2.9 acres of land. Impose upon that the requirements and limitations that result from the wetlands plus the new stormwater management regulations. Mm-hmm. 3 acres doesn't mean that we have 3 acres that we're going to pave over and put used cars on. The actual usage of the site is limited now so much that the one thing that I can guarantee you, Mr. Cole, is that when we go to site plan review and we have all the agency permits mm-hmm. in place, it won't look like what we gave you today because of the imposition of DelDOT stormwater management and the wetlands.
Right, whether B1, yeah. C1. I know you got to do all that, but I'm just saying B1 does provide for a multitude of commercial activities.
It does, but the net result's the same.
Any other questions from council?
Yes, actually more so probably to you, if I may, Mr. President. And that would be because it's just been brought to our attention today, and we don't have it in our digital packet, if you would, the subdivision of the lot. I'm wondering,
it was in our packet we got last week.
No, I'm talking about the digital. I know that. Okay. I'm just saying the digital. Does that make a difference? I'm just legally speaking.
No, because it was advertised correctly that it was part of the original parcel, and it did show what was being applied for.
It was a question of clarification only, because on the digital piece, it was not reflected. That was the question. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, do you have anything else, Mr. Schrader?
Nothing further, Mr. Moore.
Okay. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? I see three. Would you like to come forward, please? And if you'll come to the podium, give us your name and address, and there's place a sign there, yes, too.
My name is James Leota.
I live in Shoreview Woods, 19036 Timber Creek Drive, on the north side adjacent to the proposed site. I've lived there for approximately 2 years, relocated from New York to get away from congestion and moved to a residential area that better suited my needs. Since I've been there, the traffic light has been there. First, yes, it was a blinking light. Then, due to many accidents and a tremendous amount of use on Route 9, it was turned into a safer crosswalk with a permanent on a, you know, a stop-and-go light. I value all the knowledge the people have that don't live there about this area, but I think that I have a little bit of knowledge seeing that I do live there, and I know the amount of traffic that exists there from approximately 7 in the morning till 6 at night. It is extremely difficult for anyone to pull out of our development and the homes just east of our development. That's number one. Number two, this site was originally and still is zoned for agricultural and residential, which makes it very appealing to people looking for a residential place to live. Also considering that approximately 150 yards down the road, there is property that is zoned commercial residential that is up for lease or sale and it, at this time is available. And why this property isn't used is unknown to me, and it would not affect the wetlands that are involved in this specific area being spoken about now. But then again, there's no financial gain for me or anyone else in my development. We realize the value of having a convenience store on the road, which there are many, but none of them appear on that particular strip within 150, 200 yards. And now that we find out that it's a subdivision, and we're concerned also what comes next because it is subdivided. What is the next step after the dollar store? And that's about it, gentlemen. Thank you for hearing me out.
Thank you.
And I saw two other hands up. You'd like to come forward, ma'am.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to hear the concerns of the people who actually live there and have to experience what is about to happen should this get passed. My name is Cheryl Nazario, and I live at 19043 Timber Creek Drive, immediately adjacent northwest of where the development is, really on 9, corner of Hudson. Fisher is right across 9, just to give you some demographics of it. My concerns is twofold. I don't understand why that corner is being taken when Cold Spring Business Park is just up the block and that it's away from that corner. That intersection was very small and it had a blinking light. You can go through the records and you can see the numerous accidents, including fatalities that happened here. Because of that, the roads were fixed and the light was put at an intersection. It was for safety reason. It was not to build a store, or that's my impression. I'm sure the light was there for the safety of the citizens and the residents of the community. Building a store that is going to be over 9,200 square feet with 42 parking spots is enormous, in my opinion, and for many people who live in my community, which is Shoreview Woods. Many who could not be here today because they're out working, paying for their homes, their big investment. We moved there because it was residential. I looked at that before I moved there. I do not understand Why? Because the light was put there to protect its citizens and to prevent accidents from happening that have been happening, is now being used for the profit of business. This is very disturbing to me and many of the people that I live with. I don't understand why we have the gap between Cold Spring Business Park and the corner. There's already commercial property available for sale. I don't understand why the store has to be the size that it is. It can be adjacent there, away from that intersection, so people can move. One person did say that there are turning lanes. Well, obviously no one has driven on that road. Route 9 is a thoroughfare for people going and coming from Virginia and Washington, D.C., constantly. In the summer, you cannot get out of Shoreview Woods. You cannot make a left turn. There's nowhere to turn into. If you're coming down Hudson in the summer or the spring, when people are coming down to the beach, to the resorts, or going down to Ocean City, many people use Route 9 not to come to Delaware, but to get to Ocean City, to get to 1 and go to Ocean City. They come from the north on 1, they cut down Hudson, and they turn on 9, or they go straight down. You cannot make a turn at a light because there's no lane to turn into. People cross over the light and they stop there. So when you want to make a turn, you can't turn. You're sitting there for several lights. You can't turn because the traffic is not moving. So I live there. This is not hearsay. This is actual what I have experienced. I cannot get out of where I live. I don't see why my quality of life has to be diminished for something that is not necessary, not asked for by the community. But to me, this here doesn't meet the needs of the good citizens who live in the area. There are, as we stated before, that was read earlier, there are dollar stores. There's tons of them all over the place. I don't understand what the need is there. And I don't think the light, I'm really upset that people feel the light is there for their opportunity and not for the safety of the citizens there. All you have to do is come by and take a look. You can look at the records. There have been fatal accidents there, numerous accidents. There's memorials there for the people who died there. So if I sound upset, it's because I am upset, and I feel it is my moral obligation to speak, because I know what I'm talking about there. I live there. And I want to be able to get out of where I live and be able to get to where I'm going. You cannot make a turn. I do come out. I'm at the light in the summer. I can't cross because there's nowhere to cross to, because if people make a turn, it's stopped. 42 parking spots, and that's what I got out of the newspaper. That's what it states. I don't know if that's true or accurate. But that, to me, doesn't equate to 200 customers coming to there. To me, people go in there for a short period of time. It seems that the traffic into that, what's being proposed, is going to be significantly higher. I don't believe that 200 consumers are going to visit there. I would think it would be triple or more with 42 parking spots. So thank you for your time. I mean no disrespect to anyone here, but I am passionate about it. And I hope that you take into consideration what I have said, and thank you for hearing me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And there was another lady that had your hand up.
My name is Lenita DeWolf. I also live in Shoreview Woods community. Traffic will be is bad, very bad, totally bad now. I can't imagine any more increases.
Excuse me, pull one of those microphones down a little bit.
Are you saying I'm short?
No, we forgot.
Oh, we're saying people on the internet are listening too, so.
We forgot to put the box over there.
Yes.
I can't begin to imagine the need for the store, for one thing. And then we all know that this will not be, there will be more and more and more traffic, more and more people in and out. I agree with what the email person said. I agree with what both of my neighbors said. I just don't understand, and if I had a vote, I'd vote against it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak against this application? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. Council desires we can close the public record.
We'll close the public hearing, and that's the opposition will close.
I have a question before we close the. If I may, Mr. President.
Certainly.
And just reading the documents here, and I see. I just want it to be on part of the record. That's all. But down at the bottom there, looks like Planning and Zoning voted 3-0 in favor, and Mr. Wheatley had abstained. Do we know why? I mean, does abstain mean, what does that mean? Does that mean?
Not voting?
He was not present. He left the room he believed he had a conflict, so he left the room and did not participate
so
in
it's
the
a
public hearing.
So it's a recusal.
Yes.
I mean, that's I'm for the record, I think that needs to be stated in there, because, I mean, there's a difference.
Mr. Wheatley recused rather than abstained.
Okay. So we just need to have that on the record, and I just want to make sure that that's, because that's not what that says. Abstain does not mean recusal. If I just want to clarify what was done. Okay. And the question's been answered. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And while opposition, will not include public record. Okay, Mr. Moore, read short title, please.
Mr. President, I will probably read it slightly different because in the reasons given by Planning and Zoning, their eighth reason was no parties appeared in opposition. So I would read it as 1-7 instead because of that.
Sure.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 2.98 acres, more or less reasons, for the reasons given by Planning and Zoning numbered 1-7.
Pleasure, Council.
Was there, I think it's probably wishful thinking, but the CR1 zoning, again, what they're saying is they want to do a Dollar General. If a Dollar General didn't get there, we would be then left with CR1 zoning. And I do understand that the rest of that area is developed that way, commercially, and it probably wouldn't be deemed to be out of character. And probably chances are nobody would want to live there residentially. But I do have concerns about the CR1, which is our most sophisticated commercial district. There's a number of things. If this doesn't work, it would be on the market as a CR1 location. And I would rather have something as B1 because, again, the application could still go forward. Everything could be achieved through a B1 as a C1. And I just raise that concern. I don't know if anybody else is concerned or shares that concern with me.
You want to put that in form of motion? You want to put that in form of motion?
Well, not right now. I would rather defer on it and come back. But I would rather defer if there was a consensus to do that.
Okay.
Are you feeling that's maybe something you might want to look at a little more?
I'm with you. If you want consensus.
Well then, Mr. Attorney, is it possible to back things up and we defer on this application for?
Sure. Well, we can. It's done often.
All done.
Often, yeah. As I say, I didn't
know.
And you
would simply make a motion since it's been read in and just say, I move that we defer on this matter.
I could just make a motion to defer. Well, then I will make that motion to defer based on some concerns about the possibility of a B1 zone.
Is your motion having a timeline?
We're not here next week with the next meeting. Put it on next meeting.
I'll second that.
Yeah, just two weeks.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlette, to defer on change of zone 1812 until our agenda on March 28th.
It'd be fun.
Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Although yes, motion carried. Entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Vote second. Mr. Arlette, second. Mr. Wilson, any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Absolutely yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Although yes, we're now adjourned.